Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. And we do thank you for our pastor, whom we lift up to you, Father, and we ask that you would just touch and heal. We thank you for your word, and we just ask, Father, now tonight that by your Holy Spirit you would teach us, guide us, direct us through your word as we open it. Let it speak to our hearts. Let it be alive within us as we commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the state of affairs are in the world are getting worse all the time. We see the North Koreans about ready, threatening to set Seoul on flames and in flames, and so we have wars and rumors of wars. And I heard tonight that the rumor is that Yeltsin has a terminal illness, sclerosis of the liver, and that there could be a coup to oust him at any moment. And we have these earthquakes from one end of the San Andreas Fault to the other. We had one at the southern end of it recently. And it looks as though that time is short. And because of that, as I waited on the Lord today, I just felt like this is what he wanted us to look at tonight. And so, for those of you that are taking notes and you have notebooks, you can open them up. For those of you that don't have notebooks, there are note papers in the seat in front of you. But the title of the message tonight would be, "Time is Short, We Must Be About Our Father's Business." Now, Guy said that'll never fit on the tape. So I said, all right, let's just call it, "We Must Be About Our Father's Business." And then he came back and he said, "It still won't fit, Jim." I said, "I don't care." How about our Father's business? Well, the theme of the message tonight is servanthood. So what I would like to do is that Jesus is our example. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2 and let us read verses 41 through 52. This seems to fit in, especially this time of the year. Luke 2, 49, see, 41 through 52. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard them were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. There's a couple of points in this scripture that I would like to point out or just address. And first of all, Jesus was 12 years old. And in the Jewish tradition, he had reached the age of accountability. And so he had to be about his father's business. It was time for him to be accountable to God. The question is, for us today, have we reached the age of accountability? And are we being accountable to God? First thing that we might note After looking at this accountability, we found Jesus sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Now, we have to ask ourselves, are we coming and sitting in the midst of teachers? Are we asking questions? Are we studying the Word of God? Are we being about our Father's business? That's the question that we need to ask. Now, when I ask you that, you say, well, why would you ask me? Because you're all here. But those of us that are not here are the ones that really need to hear this message. Are we being about our Father's business? Are we asking questions? Are we studying the Word? Are we seeking His face? Thirdly, He said to them, why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And yet, He was subject unto them. In verse 51, it said, He went down with them and came to Nazareth, and He was subject to them. So Jesus not only was accountable to God, He was not only made that commitment to God, but He was still subject to His parents. I wanted to ask the young adults here tonight, have you reached that stage of accountability in your life to God? And are you still subject to your parents? Still subject to authority? Or because now that you are young adults, and you're making decisions for yourself, and you're now accountable to God, does that mean that you're not subject or accountable to your parents? We have to ask ourselves that. The ladies in the study here tonight, not only are the children subject to the mothers, but the mothers or the wives are subject to the husbands, even as the husband is subject to Christ. And I would have to ask, moms or wives, are you accountable to God? And are you subject unto your husband? And you might say to me, well, yeah, I'm subject to him. He's a baseball addict, and that's all I ever hear is baseball, baseball. So I'm subject to baseball. That's true. You are. But you're subject to him in a lot of other things. And so I think that we need to ask ourselves and examine ourselves, how am I doing? Am I being accountable to God? Have I made a commitment? And am I being subject to my husband along with being accountable to God? And men, you're not excluded. You're accountable and we're accountable to God, and yet we're subject to a lot of things. Most of us are subject to our job, our boss. There's someone that has an authority over us. Are we subjecting ourselves to them? Are we submitting to them? Are we glorifying God in what we're doing in regard to them? Or do we have an attitude of, I'll serve God, but I'm not going to subject myself to you because you're not saved, or you're a Gentile, or you're just a jerk. And so I don't really care what you think. We need to examine our hearts and find out what our attitude is if we're to be an example for God, if we're to be accountable to God. And so there's a lot for us to see in these areas. And then finally, in this section of Scripture, verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. If we will be accountable to God, if we will make a commitment, if we are subject to those that God asks us to be subject to, if we ask questions, if we study the Word, if we sit amongst the teachers and listen to the Word of God being taught, we will grow in wisdom and in stature, and we will grow in favor with God and with men. It just is a natural thing. It's just a fruit that we can expect. And so we need to be about our Father's business, having that accountability, making a commitment, being in subjection. And we need to step out in faith. I thought to myself, we hear that a lot. We need to step out in faith. What does that really mean? And faith in what? As I waited on the Lord, he said, well, in faith in my word. What does my word say? How are we to step out? You know, we can come to Bible studies and we can study our brains out and not get anywhere and not grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men because we're not doing anything. We're like a parked car. You can't guide a parked car. It just doesn't work. And you can't direct a person that's not stepping out in faith, that's not moving, that's not being a doer of the word. So we need to ask ourselves, am I a doer of the word or am I a hearer only? Now, myself, a lot of times, I'm a hearer only. And I really have no one to blame for that but myself. Because if I pray and if I ask the Holy Spirit to help me to take that word from here and put it 18 inches down into my heart and have it an outworking in my life, the Holy Spirit will do it. He'll do it for each one of us. But we usually just let it go in this ear and out the other. We're not being accountable to God when we act that way. So we need to step out in faith. We need to be moving. Now, this is leading up to something that I wanted to just do an overview and share with you tonight about being a doer of the word. And that is how God has equipped us, not only through his word, but with gifts. And the men in Malachi's study are in 1 Corinthians 12. And his handmaidens will be next Tuesday. And they're looking into that right now. And this is something that I would like to have you open up to. So let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to look at three verses mainly. While you're doing that, Paul, as he wrote to the Corinthians in this letter, in this area of his letter, he was really addressing, an issue of the gifts in that he was trying to show them that there were a lot more gifts than what they were manifesting. We found that the Corinthians were manifesting the gifts of the Spirit. But yet, as we've been studying through the first chapters of Corinthians, we found there's a lot of divisions among them. They weren't really functioning in the other areas and the other gifts that God had given them, whether it be in their abilities that God has given them, whether it be in the calling that God had given them. But they were really babes, and they were not mature. So as Paul wrote this chapter, he was addressing the fact to the Corinthians that there was a lot more to gifts than just the gifts of the Spirit as listed in verses 8 through 10. And he began to describe to them how they were all different members of one body and likening them unto different parts of the body, describing to them how that it was a living body and that if one part didn't function, it caused the others to malfunction. If you were lungs and you weren't working properly, the whole body would suffocate. And if you were an ear and you were trying to be a foot, the body wouldn't be able to hear what was being said. And it was such an analogy, so wonderful, especially the fact that it was a living thing. He also talked about the parts that were more vital, the ones that weren't seen, and yet how that if we didn't have them, the whole body would die. The parts that are before in front of people, like an arm or a foot, the body could lose that and still function. But it's those parts, those vital parts, the uncomely parts, the parts that many of us don't see, like the heart or the lungs or the liver, if they didn't function, the whole body would die. So what I wanted to do is to take a look at verses 4, 5, and 6, because this was Paul's outline to the Corinthians speaking about gifts. In verse 4, he said there are different kinds of gifts or diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit that manifests himself in all of them. And in verse 5, he said there are differences of ministries or different service, but it's the same Lord. So you notice that he talks about the Spirit, and then he talks about our Lord Jesus. And then finally in verse 6, he said there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all, speaking of the Father. So we see the Trinity here, all supplying the body with different types of gifts. I would like to point out that in verse 6, the word activities in the old King James says operations. That Greek word is only used one place in the entire Bible, and that's right here. That Greek word is called energia, or where we get our word energy. And we're going to look at that in a little more detail. What it means is the type of a gift where we are more efficient, or where we are stronger. We have a stronger working, or a more efficient working in that area of our life. What appears to be a natural ability is really a God-given ability, one where we function well and we have a lot of vitality and strength. Now, how many of us have examined ourselves and said, where is that gift? Where is that charisma gift that's found in Romans? Romans chapter 12, it talks about these gifts. Let's turn there for a moment. Take a look at Romans chapter 12. In my Bible here, it's entitled Living Sacrifices to God. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Presenting ourselves to Him, making that commitment that He's called us to make. Verse 2, and I do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. For I say, though the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So each one of us has been given a measure of faith that we might step out and function in this area that God is speaking about here, the gift that He has given us. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Very similar to the way that Paul was speaking to the Corinthians in chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians also. Talking about that vital body and all the different members all functioning together. You know, when you stop to think about it, there's a responsibility there for each and every one of us. If we're not functioning in the body, if we're not stepping out in faith, if we're not seeking to serve the body in the area of that gift that God has given us, then in a way we're crippling the body. That's something that I never really thought about for a long time. For we as many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having then gifts or charisma differing according to the grace that's given to us, let's use them. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy into the proportion of the faith that God has given us. Or if it's a servant or ministry, let us use it in our serving. He who teaches, then in his teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation. That word exhorts also means a biblical guidance. That's another area of service to the body. He who gives with liberality, and he who leads, a gift of administration, with diligence. He who shows mercy, that person that goes to the old folks' home or the hospital and prays for those that are sick and shut in. That's a super special ministry. I remember that I was seeking to find out what areas that God had gifted me in. So I thought, well, I'll go to the hospitals and I'll pray and I'll see the people in the old folks' home. It was really rough. I had a hard time. And I realized before long that God hadn't given me the energy to do this. He hadn't given me that strength to do this type of a calling. So I knew that that wasn't the gift that God had given me. But I would have never known it if I hadn't stepped out and tried. And that's what I'm encouraging each one of you to do tonight. If you haven't recognized that area in your life where God has gifted you with a special energy, special efficient ability, then seek it out. And you can only do this by stepping out in faith, because God's called us to do that, to function in the body. Mercy. I guess I don't have any. I have a friend, and they people call my friend and I grace and mercy, because we neither one of us have any. Paul goes on to say to the Romans, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil, and cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference one to another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Is that an area of service that God has called us to? We don't know unless we step out and try it. Distributing to the needs of the saints. That's an area that all of us can function in, and I believe that God has called us to do. And as we read in Proverbs concerning the poor, there's a lot of promises connected with ministering to the poor. More promises in that ministry than any other one in the scriptures that I know of. Proverbs are full of it. And so we can't go wrong by ministering to the poor or distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. What is hospitality? Well, tonight this is just an overview here, so we're not going to be instructing or teaching on any of these one areas. But hospitality is, just can be inviting people over for dinner so that you can get to know them. And while they're there, praying with them, encouraging them in the faith. It's really a blessing, and it's a lot of fun. I love it when we do Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and we don't know who's coming or we don't know where we're going. That's really a lot of fun. But sooner or later, we'll recognize if God's given us this gift of hospitality. Most homes that have been opened to Bible studies, the home that was opened, the husband, the wife, have a gift of hospitality, and it's just a blessing. And they have a lot of energy, and they have a lot of strength in that area. And they don't burn out, because that's a gift that God has given them. A wonderful, wonderful gift. Well, verse 14, bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse, and rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. So God has given us these special gifts. Now, the next thing that I would like to look at, I think, in the area of gifts is that he gives us these special abilities, and he also has called us to serve. Let's move to, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is those gifts that are given by the Lord. And they would come right in line with verse 5 in 1 Corinthians 12, where it said there are differences of ministries but the same Lord. Let's take a look at those gifts that the Lord has given us in Ephesians 4. And we'll start with verse 7. The heading in this Bible that I have here says spiritual gifts. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of service or ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He, Jesus Christ himself, has given these gifts. Now this gift, the Greek word means dama. This gift means, best way I can describe it is, it means a present. And I think an example would be best. Think of Pastor Jack having the calling of pastor and teacher, of course. And he is that gift to this body. He's a gift to me, I know that for sure. But God has given him this calling and is using him as a gift to this body to teach us, to exhort us, to cause us to be filled with the Lord's love and to be fruitful. And so that's what the kind of gift is talking about, a present that God gives to the body for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, verse 12, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, and until we all come into the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man. Again, see that body, that man is composed of all of the different members, each one of us composing and building, making up that body, with Christ as the head of it, into this complete man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so that will be until the day of the Lord's coming for us. So we have the Holy Spirit, we have God the Father giving us these special abilities, we have God the Son giving us these callings. But there was one calling that he doesn't list here that I would like to share with you also that I think is real important. When Paul is sharing in this portion of Scripture, he's talking about serving the body as a unit, pastor over his flock and so forth. There's another calling that's not listed here but can be found in other areas of the Bible. By looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, it talks about God's order or the headship. For God the Father is over God the Son, and then God the Son is over the man, and the man is over the woman, and the woman is over the children. Or the children are subject to the woman is subject to the man is subject to Christ, and Christ subject to God. Even though Jesus didn't consider it to be robbery to be equal with God, he was subject to him because God does have an order. Now, there's a calling that each one of us has, and our first ministry that I think that we should address as men is that we have a calling to serve in our home as leader of our family, as the spiritual head of the family, that we can share the word of God with our wife and with our children. If we look at Ephesians 5, it tells us a lot about washing, with the washing of the word of God and presenting the woman back to ourselves without spot or without blemish. This is a calling that precedes serving in the body. And so many times a man will say, I may have a special ability, but God hasn't given me a calling. I wasn't called to be a teacher. I wasn't called to be a pastor, so I don't have a calling. But that's not true. There are other callings. And one of the major ones is called to be the head of that home and the family. And so we want to remember that, not use that as an escape, because God has called every one of us. Finally, God has equipped us to not only function in the body with those special abilities, he's not only called us with a calling, but he's equipped us with gifts that can be likened unto tools, so that we will have the ability to function in the body, that will be a vital part of the many members of the body that are built up into the completeness of Christ as the head. And we find that by turning back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would, where verse 4, it said there are different types of gifts, there are different types of gifts, but the same Spirit. And in verses 8 through 10, it lists these spiritual gifts, which a lot of us kind of feel like, well, I don't know if I really need these or not. But God the Father thought it necessary for Jesus to have these gifts. The apostles had these gifts. The disciples of Christ had these gifts. How much more than we need these gifts to function in the body of Christ? And so for those of you that are in the Malachi or his handmaidens, you're going to be going over and looking at these gifts, or you already have. And if you don't see these gifts manifest in your life, all you need to do is to pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would be manifest, because they are what equips us for that special ability that God's given us and for that calling that God's given us, so that we'll be complete, not lacking in serving in the body of Christ. You know, I thought at first, gee, you know, I don't know if I should share on servanthood here, which is really the theme tonight, or not, because usually when there's a lack of service in a body, then a pastor will come up and he'll share in this area. Now, we don't do that as we go verse by verse and book by book. But the Lord said to me, no, that's not the reason. And I thought, this body, there are more men and women and young adults that serve in this body than anybody I've ever seen. And I've been privileged to be involved with Costa Mesa, with Calvary Chapel of Brea, with Calvary Chapel of Fullerton, with Calvary Chapel of Moreno Valley, with Calvary Chapel of Chico, way up north, with Calvary Chapel of Chino Hills. And this body here, I've been blessed more by being part of this body than anybody I've ever been involved with. I've just been having a blast here, and it's been so much fun to be a part of this body. And I look around and I see, wow, you know, a pastor would give his right arm to have all these servants, these handmaidens, and all of the things. They're so willing to serve. So this message is not for that reason, but the Lord said to me that we need to function in the body. We need to understand these things so that we will be able to do those things that he's called us to do, that we will be able to please him. And he said about concerning this body that my people want to please me, but they don't always know how to go about it. So they need to be instructed. So my exhortation to you is to step out. Don't be afraid of spiritual gifts. Don't be afraid of these gifts in Romans 12. Don't be afraid of any calling that you might have on your life, because God will be right there with you to guide you and direct you. And if he calls you up here to share a message with someone, and all of a sudden and you get nervous and a dry mouth like I have right now, don't worry about it. I knew I should have brought a glass of water up here, but I thought, these are all my friends. I'm not going to get nervous, so my mouth won't be dry. Too many Sudafed, I think is what it is. But this, you want it up? Oh, there's water in here? No kidding. See what I mean about servants? All this time. Oh, boy. Oh, that's good. Woo. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm thinking, well, let's see. I don't have too much longer to go. I guess my tongue won't stick to my lips. And this is great. Well, I would like to turn to one final scripture, if you would, and let's turn to 1 Peter 4, chapter 4. And, you know, while you're turning to that, there was something I wanted to share with you out of James 1:17. And we were looking in Romans 12, we're looking at these special abilities, the energia, the charisma type gifts. To go along with that, the Lord gave me this scripture in James 1:17, and it goes like this: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I don't know about you, but every time I read that, I get blessed. The Father of lights. No variableness in there, no shadow of turning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's really comforting to me. Every good gift comes down from heaven above, from our Father. A lot of us think if we ask for a piece of bread, that God's going to give us a stone. Well, you know that in Luke 11, it talks about that. If we, being sinners, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much our Heavenly Father knows how to give us good gifts. So we don't need to be afraid or to worry. So 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, and we'll close with this. This title in the Bible that I have here is called Serving for God's Glory. Not serving because there's a lack of servants. Not serving because there's a need somewhere particularly. But serving that we might please God. That we might glorify God in this body. Verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Well, as we started, and when we look around in the world today, we are even closer to that than what Peter thought. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister or serve to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone serves or ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. We don't have to have perfection in our life. I mean, if God's given us ability and we look around and we say, well, you know, that person over there, I've seen that person and they serve in the same area that I think God's called me to, but they do it so much better than I do. Let's not have an attitude like that. Let's have an attitude like, I'm going to serve God with what He's given me. I'm going to please Him in this body, and I'm not going to look upon others. Besides, we should esteem others as greater than ourselves. So if someone else needs to be doing a better job, praise the Lord. That's great. We need to look at it from that point of view. So let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom being the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's the purpose for us to function in the body. Not only that the body might be a functioning and a vital and a fruitful body, because we're stepping forth, we're being doers of the word, and not just hearers of the word, but because we want to glorify Christ. We want to our Father to be well pleased with us. Not so that someone would look at me or look at any of us and say, oh, wow, look at him, or look at her, wow. You know, they're really special. No, not for that reason. Just that we might glorify God. I'd like to close. If you pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just pray and ask that you would reveal to us your calling in our life, those special abilities that you've gifted us with, the spiritual gifts of words of knowledge or wisdom or prophecy or whatever they might be. Father, that they would be functioning in our lives, that we might glorify Christ in all that we do and all that we say, that we might make the body of Christ complete with you, Lord, as the head, a body that would be functioning and fruitful. So we commit ourselves to you, Father, and we ask that you would speak to our hearts and give us the unction to step forward and to step out and to find out what are those areas that you've called us to as we commit these things unto you. And one more thing before I close. As I was praying today, the Lord was speaking to me about you. And I guess you would call it a prophecy. And so I would like to try to share with you what the Lord was saying. The Lord said to me, "These are my beloved ones. And oh, how I love them. I am jealous over them with a godly jealousy. I desire that they would grow and be fruitful, that they would be filled with my love. So I exhort you, my children, to seek my face, to come before me that I might guide you and direct you by my Spirit and through my word, because I am a God that is jealous over you, and I love you with an everlasting love." Amen.